Let's open our Bibles today as we continue on this subject of speaking with other tongues. Let's open our Bibles. Let's read this today in agreement. John chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's read that together out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue. Last week, we spoke on the Holy Spirit being God's gift to the world. No, to his children. But the prerequisite, as we were sharing, the prerequisite to being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is that we first receive him. We first receive Jesus. We receive eternal life. That positions us, that qualifies us to be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that was what we did. We went down and we started looking at different ways or different terms that are used in the Bible. And it talks about receiving the Holy Ghost or being filled with the Holy Ghost or baptized with the Holy Ghost. Calls that the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we saw that in Acts 2:38. It said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after, not before, it says, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So the Holy Ghost comes upon us and we'll receive power. And it says what? What's the effect of that? And ye shall be, not maybe, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And one of the things that one of the speakers this week, and we may be showing, not maybe, we are going to show some of a couple of the services. Thinking about doing one today. So exciting. But when we receive that power of the Holy Ghost, that power gives us the power to be what? A witness, but it also will burn out of you every bit of chaff and stuff that's hanging on. And you said, well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. Keep being filled. Drink. Spend time. It will burn out. If the devil's trying to attack your mind, be filled. Be filled. It'll drive it away. It'll drive it off. It'll burn it up. What happened when Ahab brought on, he said, bring all these prophets and they're going to bring and they're going to burn a sacrifice. What did that fire do? It burnt it up. It burnt the water up. It burnt everything up. And the fire of the Holy Ghost will burn up things in your life. It'll burn it up. Things you're struggling with, get full of the Holy Ghost. Get filled. How do you get filled? Spend time with him. Spend time. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we ought to be earth-changing, home-changing, town-changing, nation-changing witnesses. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, what happened to Peter and John? They weren't timid. It said they were what? Bold. Well, I'm not really bold. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when you do, something happens to little timid you. The timidity in you is affected by the power of the Holy Ghost. It sure does. Hallelujah. Now, one thing we did see, and I brought this out today because I didn't want to take the time to put them in my notes, but if you turn to, well, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read from it. But John chapter 4, when it talks about the well of water, it said in verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be what? In him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So we have a reference here to the effect of eternal life. It's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But then John 7, it says in verse 38, he that believeth on me in the scripture hath said, out of his belly, see, shall flow rivers of living water. See, now I like this. This is what I want to bring this out here. John 7:38. There's some translations that just really express it in a different way. I like it. It says, and this is the Wade translation. Now that's not Brother Wade, Nance. This is the Wade translation. It says, from his breast there will flow streams of life-imparting water. See, that's what's in you. There are streams, rivers of life-imparting water. The Good News Bible, it says, streams of life-giving water will pour out from his heart. These are just some other ways. The Jordan translation, it says, from the heart of man who lives, my life will flow, as the Bible says, floods of life-giving water. See, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't be quiet, you can't be still, you can't stop from saying something. You're what? You're a witness. Full of power, just like Peter got up, opened his mouth, and shared some things that made some people upset, and some people happy. Amen. They got, and let's turn there. That's a good, let's go over to Acts chapter 4 and look at that account for a moment. And look at, I'm not going to look at all of it because you can go back and read that for yourself. But look, let's just start with verse 23, and it says, and this was what happened. They got up, spoke boldly, and what happened? They threatened them. And they said, well, we got to do something here. And they've done something. They said, what did it say back in verse 16? It said, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that what? A notable miracle. That's what happens when you get full of the Holy Ghost. Notable miracles will happen. And it said, and it hath been done by them, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. See, that's what's going to happen. See, right now you got the world woofing and making noise. So what? Get full of the Holy Ghost, and there'll be signs and things that they can't deny. They can't deny it. Now, they may threaten you, and here's what you do. You come back to your own camp, you get together, you say what happened, and you rejoice. You say, hallelujah, glory to God. And then turn around, go right back in again. Because that's what they did. What they do, they call them, command them not to speak or teach in that name. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Hallelujah. So let's jump down to verse 23. And then what happened? They let him go. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. They further threatened him. And then what'd they do? They let him go. They went back to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when their company heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings and the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus. Hallelujah. That's just exactly what got David all riled up with the Philistine. Whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, what? Behold their threatenings, and do what? Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. See, the church is just a little too timid. We need to get filled with the Holy Ghost and be bold to speak his word. You know, I'll say this. I heard one of the speakers say this, that there are people that are coming that are hungry for God. God's sending them into the church. They're hungry for something that they're missing. Now's not the time to be mealy mouth. Because that's what they're looking for. You don't want them to leave saying, oh, well, just another sermon. But they're looking for power. There's a void in their heart. They're crying out to God for more. Amen. So this is what they said. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, what happened? The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And you can see, you can go down what happened when Philip preached Christ to Samaritans. That got noise back to Jerusalem. Who did they send? The ones that got filled. In chapter 8, they sent Peter and John down to Samaria to do what? Pray and lay hands on them to do what? Get them filled. Because they were filled. I heard Mark Hankin say, he says, I'm possessed with the fire of God with the intent to distribute. I said, yes, sir. I'm filled with the power of God, with the fire of God, with the intent to distribute. I said, yeah, that's what we need to be. We have to have intentions to distribute this power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's turn over to, I want to just touch quickly on five instances in the book of Acts of being filled with the Holy Ghost with what? The evidence of speaking in tongues. So let's look over at Acts chapter 2. And of course, we all know this. This is on the day of Pentecost. And verse 1 through 3, and it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? In one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." And what happened? "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So here's what happened. There was an evidence. This is the evidence of you being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And I know you can go through. There are other, you know, and we're trying to just make this clear. You know, some people might say, well, you know, when I got the Holy Ghost, somebody may say, well, I prophesied, or I had the word of knowledge, or whatever. That may be in addition to speaking in other tongues. But we shouldn't seek those other things. The Word of God says when you get filled, there's an evidence of speaking with other tongues. And those things are added as what? As God wants and desires. And so, yes, you can read through. You may have some personal accounts, or you may even have experienced that. That you got filled, you began to speak in other tongues, and immediately some of these other things occurred in your life. That's scriptural, but it's not something that we shouldn't expect. That's another word I should say. We should expect what the Bible says. That's where faith comes from. So if I can go to the Bible and I can find it, then I can expect that. See? And that's what I want to do. We're going to walk through and look at every one of these accounts in the book of Acts. There is the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But we can't have faith to expect that I'm going to prophesy or have the word of knowledge by being filled. You see what I mean? The initial evidence. That's what we're talking about, the initial evidence. So that's Acts 1. This was Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. So we can see they were all filled. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, let's go back over. We were talking about that, Acts chapter 8. And this is Philip preaching Christ to the Samaritans. And I'm going to start verse 12 because we don't need to back up. But let's look at verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were what? They were baptized, both men and women." Now that means being baptized into the name of Jesus. They believed on Christ. Because, what did it say? They believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. He was preaching Christ unto them. But you can continue down, and then it's verse 13, "Then Simon himself believed also." He's talking about Simon the sorcerer, right? And he said he himself believed also. "And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip." He kind of hung out there with him. Right? So that had an impact on him. "And wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, what did they do? They sent Peter and John, who had been filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 15, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, this particular passage does not say in the scripture, it doesn't say here that they spoke in other tongues. But I'm going to ask, first of all, a couple of questions. If you study church history, those that have studied it agree that they did speak with other tongues. That's number one. Number two, Simon, when you look at verse 13, he believed he saw something. Simon saw something because in verse 18 he said, and when Simon saw through the laying on of hands, or the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Well, he must have seen something. How would he have known they received the Holy Ghost? There had to have been an outward evidence. Would you not agree? So even though the scripture doesn't say it, there had to have been an outward evidence because he said, hey, I want that. Now, he wasn't trying to pay for the Holy Ghost. He was trying to pay for the authority to distribute. That's what he wanted. He wanted the power and the authority to go lay hands on somebody to receive. Amen. That's what that's saying right there. So Simon must have seen the same thing that occurred on the day of Pentecost. He must have. Hallelujah. So let's turn to Acts chapter 9 and let's look at verse 1. Let's look at the account of Saul of Tarsus. This is another account. Now, this particular account. It talks about Ananias and being instructed of the Lord to go to and lay hands on Saul. And of course, we know he received the Lord because it's Ananias said, brother Saul. Well, you know, at that point, he didn't preach Christ to him. He called him brother, didn't he? And it said, when it said verse 17, and Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest do what? Receive thy sight. Because he hadn't seen in a few days. And what? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now this here in this account, it doesn't say here that he spoke in other tongues. But I would say to you that when you go over to 1 Corinthians, I believe it's in 14, doesn't he say, and I speak with tongues more than ye all. So he had to have spoken with other tongues. So this is another account, this particular account here. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 10. This is about Cornelius and his household. And this occurred about 10 years after the day of Pentecost. And you can go to Acts chapter 10 and verse 13. So here you have the account of Cornelius was praying, and the angel appeared to him and told him to send someone to Joppa to inquire at the house of Simon the tanner for a man named Peter. So that's what he did. He went down, sent some people. Now look at and at the same time, what also happened? Peter was in a trance. He was having a vision. So look at verse 13. It says, "And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.'" Because we know that he saw a sheet and he saw all these different animals come down. And he said, he wanted to call them what he wanted. He said, "They're not clean. They're unclean." So when you look at verse 13, he said, verse 14, "But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.'" In verse 15, "And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.'" So he's now, this is, again, up to this point, the Gentiles, this really was really, when you think about it, the Jews were really the only ones that had, up to this point, had received Christ. This said here, the Jews looked upon the Gentiles as being unclean and wouldn't have anything to do with them. But God was getting Peter ready and prepared for what he would soon witness, the gospel being preached to the Gentiles. So let's jump ahead and let's look at, I believe it's verse, let me go over here. Yeah. Let's go over to verse 44. And just jump ahead. And it said, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them, which did what? Which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out," what? "The gift of the Holy Ghost," and what? "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." So here you can see the Jews, the believing Jews, were astonished that the Holy Spirit was being poured out on them. So it's up to this point was strictly a Jewish church. So now you have the Gentiles receiving salvation and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you can see here, how did they know? See, how did the Jews know they had received the Holy Ghost? They heard them speak in other tongues and magnify God. So you can see that. And let's look at Acts 19. Acts 19. And this, we can look at verse 1. And this is where Paul came to Ephesus, and this is regarding the disciples at Ephesus. And verse 1, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?' And they said unto him, 'We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.'" This happened a number of years after, I believe, if I've read correctly, this was about 20 years after the day of Pentecost, so they didn't hear anything about this. So this is what they said: "We haven't heard that there be anything such as the Holy Ghost." And verse 3, "And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now you can see here, this is them receiving what? This is them receiving what? Christ. This is them receiving the new birth, salvation. And it continues, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they what? They spake with tongues and prophesied. See, so this is something where them receiving salvation and the Holy Ghost were almost simultaneous. They received Christ, they were baptized into Christ, and he went and laid hands on them. And they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it said what? They spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. So you can see that account, and these are five instances that are referenced in the book of Acts that talk about or refer to being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking, or we might say the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues when someone is filled. I don't know how many of you, but I know personally, when I've laid hands on people privately, man, I mean, boom! You don't have to coach them. You don't have to say, speak. No, I laid hands on them and instantly they began to speak with other tongues. As soon as I laid hands, they're like, whoo! And they're speaking. That's what should happen. You have this power within you and authority to lay hands on individuals who are born again to do what? Receive the Holy Ghost. So if you're here today and you've not a desire to speak with other tongues, you come and we'll lay hands on you and you shall speak. Now, if you are, and if there's no one here, but if you are somewhere, and you have someone that maybe hasn't received Christ, well, preach Christ. But then also don't stop there. Ask them if they want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lay hands on them, and they shall receive. These are the days when he's, what did he say? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. These are the days to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 4 for a moment. Just wanted to look at this. Because, and look at verse 29. And 30 and 31, you might say this is an effect of being filled with the Holy Ghost. When you're filled, this is what I said before. They said, see, verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. See, now they were threatened. Now, if anybody's in the flesh, it's going to do what? It may affect your psyche. It may affect your mind. Oh, Lord, you know, they're threatening us. Look, we live in this flesh. And your soul, that's why it's important to be in agreement. That's why it's important to be in agreement. Your heart and your mind be in agreement. Because when it is, power is released. The power of God. When you get God's word in your heart, God's word, there's all power in God's word. And when you get that in your heart and your mind gets renewed, excuse me, and you're in agreement, His power is released in and through you. But you see, when your mind is in conflict with your heart, it affects the power that may be coming out of you. That's why it's important that when we read God's word, that we be in agreement with it. We may not understand it. Don't let your mind try to get in there and say, well, I don't understand that. Well, you know, I don't know about that. God's word is forever settled. It's going to come to pass. So, and the same thing, it goes just where healing is concerned. He's already healed us. We have to be in agreement with that. And when we are, the power of God is released, faith is released to cause that to become a reality. It's no different in your finances. I remember when I was very young in the Lord, healing, words and healing were things that, I'll just say, it appealed to me. I gravitated to it. And I studied it and meditated on it and spoke it all the time. Things that would come in my body, I would speak and it would change. But I had developed that. I began to meditate on it, confess it, speak it, and my mind got renewed. And so when things would come, I would speak. Now, I can't say that where my finances were concerned. I was struggling in that area. See, there's areas that we're not developed in. And so, in a time of prayer, I began to laugh. I was laughing. You ought to do that sometime. Just laugh at the devil. Because, you know, he is defeated. And there's precedent to just sit and go, ha, ha, ha. You are defeated. Ha, ha, ha. And laugh, even when you don't feel like laughing. I'll tell you, this day I didn't feel like laughing. I had about 104, 105 temperature. I was delirious. I was on my back. And I began to choose to laugh. And the best I could do was, ha, ha, ha. That's pretty bad. But you know, I chose to do that, and I kept doing it for 10, 15 minutes. I forced myself to laugh. I'm going to say it again. I forced myself to laugh. And after a while, as they say, a little wheel started to turn on the inside and stir even in my weakness. And I began to laugh, and I began to, this bubbling started to bubble, and I began to laugh more and more and more. And more, and got over into a full, what I call a full tilt Holy Ghost laugh. I couldn't stop laughing. And it began to bubble and bubble and bubble. And this was a full, just, I mean, I couldn't stop. But it didn't start there. I had to choose to laugh. In the hurting, you need to laugh at your finances because they're already healed. You're already prosperous. Even though your symptom may say otherwise, you laugh. Laugh at your sickness. Laugh at your circumstances. That's faith. And when you do, you give God something to work with. And so in that setting, when that began to kind of settle down, instantly the Holy Ghost began to speak to me, not about the symptoms in my body, but my finances. And I was laughing about my body and the symptoms, but he started talking about my finances. And this is what he said. I'm talking over 30 years ago. He said, if you will work the word in the area of your finances, like you're working the word in the area of your healing, he said, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Ooh, boy, did that get my attention. Because he knew, the Holy Ghost knew how to say it that I would understand it. Because I was working the word in the area of healing. But I wasn't in the area of my finances. And he said, if you'll do just exactly the same thing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That means to me a blank check. No limits. Now, I'd like to say it changed overnight, but it didn't. But what did change instantly was what I said. So, I tell you, when it comes to being filled, part of that being filled is to stir up the gift of God that resides in you. You've already received the Holy Ghost, but you know you can let it lay dormant. You've got to stir this up. You've got to say and sing and profess and drink of him. And that comes with staying in his presence. And when you do, you see, this is what happened here. It said, what did it say? Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, see, best thing I must say is this doesn't come by being busy all the time. You got to take time and pray. You've got to take time to get alone with God. You've got to get time and just sit in his presence. That's where this comes from. Getting filled up with him. I heard Pastor Hagin say this. He said when he was growing up, I've heard him and also read it. This is his current son. When he was a little guy like this, and his dad was in his 30s, he said he would sit on the floor and watch his dad study the Bible. He had a little tiny table in the corner of the room, and he said Brother Hagin would just sit there all night and read the word and study. He said he had all his Bibles on the floor and things around him, and he would be in the word of God all night long. He said he'd fall asleep, he'd wake up in the morning, and he said my dad was still there. And he said he would get up, take a shower, and get off to do what he had to do. And he said he would say that his dad said, well, the Holy Ghost will refresh me. And I thought to myself, I said, how many times have we said, I'm so tired? You're not in agreement with God. You're in conflict with God. You've got the comforter. You've got the helper living inside you. Now, I'm not saying we should do that all the time, but when it does happen, don't say with your mouth, don't put into motion tiredness. Because to me, it's no different. You could say, I'm so sick. I'm so broke. I'm so tired. But you could say with your mouth, I'm rich. I'm healed. And what does it say? Let the weak say, I'm strong. See? Don't let circumstances determine your outcome. If you're tired, don't say it. Say, I'm full of God. Say it when you don't feel like it. Keep saying it until it becomes a reality. Keep saying, I'm full, I'm full, I'm full, I'm full. Make a choice to do it and see what happens. As they say, I double dog dare you. Because you know what will happen. You'll get full. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many are going to get filled? Filled. I mean filled to overflowing. I'll say this in closing. God will search out those that are hungry. Those that want more, those that want to be filled, he will meet you. But you got to want it. You've got to want to be and put yourself in places, whether it's privately or corporately, you've got to put yourself in a place to be filled. If you're always busy, no time for God. I'll give you 5 minutes, God, on my way down the stairs as I'm driving. Too much distractions. You've got to be quiet. You've got to seek him. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we'll pick up again on Wednesday. Just come and you'll receive. And as God directs, we're all going to walk here filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to change this nation with the power of God in us. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you. And we decree that we're full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, and we thank you that the devil is defeated. In our lives and in this area, he's defeated, and he knows it, and we're just going to enforce it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're grateful that you even consider us and use us. We humble ourselves before you, Father, and if we've missed it in this area, we just own up to it, and we say we're sorry, and we're determined with our hearts and our minds that we're going to seek you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our souls, so that you can use us in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.